welcome everyone here. I'm thankful to be here. With the songs we sang already and the work that was preached. And there was a certain song that stood out to me, and it was the first one we sang. It was I think it was 837. I'm just going to read a verse there that stood out to me. 837. No. Yes, there is. Lord, I am foundly, earnestly longing. Especially the verse 2 there stood out to me because I want to talk a little bit about some of that. It said, debt to the world would I be, O Father, debt unto sin, alive unto death. It says, debt unto sin, alive unto thee, crucify all the earthly within me, empty of sin and self may I be. And that's what God wants of us, is to be emptied of sin and self. And I hope that each one of us can do that, because I want to talk about some of that in Romans chapter 12. There are two verses there that I've been really thinking about and studying over the last couple of months or even longer, that I really like to study on. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And by the way, I think that's my screwdriver right there, so thank you for finding it for me. Let's read verse 1 and 2 there in Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what I want to look at is being a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That living sacrifice that God wants coming from our life. But there, if you note there in verse 2 where it says, and be not conformed to this world. So I just thought I would share a little bit on what this world is. I know you already know, but when I was growing up, I had a little bit different view of the world because it was taught that way, and so I just want to get a good picture of what the world is. I might go to 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 and 16. I think we're all familiar with this, but it's good to be reminded of it every now and then. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then it goes on and says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I think in those three aspects, or however you call them there, is, you can say it's the whole world. Is what is in the world. And that's some of the things that God wants us to abstain from. He don't want us to follow after those things. He wants us to have a renewed mind. The lust of the flesh is preoccupation with glorifying physical desires is what. That preoccupation means a state of being preoccupied. And with, maybe I said that one word wrong, gratifying. Gratifying means giving pleasure or satisfaction to something. Being occupied with giving pleasure to physical desires. That is the lust of the flesh. And that can include many, many things. It goes, the lust of the eye, and we all, I think, know what that is. If we see something that really gets our attention, or something that we really like, materialism. It's craving and accumulating things, earthly things, materialism. And then the pride of life, being obsessed with one's status or importance. Something, well, we know how that the devil was, Jesus was tempted of the devil. And when he took him up on the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the things that in him, said, if thou wilt worship me, I will give, if thou wilt fall down and worship me, I will give these, all these kingdoms. So it's something, it's an important place that one can get, or a high up place. So I just thought I'd say that to get a little bit of an idea what he's talking about here when he says let me go back there in Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not to be conformed to the world. So when I became born again, I had a renewed mind. And that's what God wants of us, is a renewed mind. Something that is not focused on this worldly thing, on these worldly things. The lust of the eye and those things. So if you keep that in mind about having a renewed mind, that renewed mind that God gave us when we were born again, a mind that wants to do what is right, a mind that wants to follow God. And what does a living sacrifice look like? So anything created and offered to God. It's to be available and willing to obey God in whatever He asks or commands. To live every minute of every day as an offering and a service to the Lord. So we had a very good example was Jesus Christ, of being a living sacrifice. Jesus demonstrated what it means to be a living sacrifice. He was God in the flesh. Yet he humbled himself and lived to serve others. And Matthew 20 verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So he came to earth to give his life a ransom for many. He paid so that you and I could be set free from our sins, from our bondage of sins. He paid that ransom so that we can be set free. Philippians 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. Says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So again, we can see there that Jesus was our example to demonstrate be a living sacrifice. He gave himself unto death. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The meaning of a sacrificial life is being poured out for others. Let's give ourselves for others. And it is God's will for every believer to be a living sacrifice. But we also know that you can read in the Bible that to obey is better than sacrifice. And I believe, you know, sacrifice goes right with being obedient. I believe if we are obedient to the Lord, then I believe that will come. Is to sacrifice, give our lives to God. In Proverbs 21 verse 3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, daily laying aside our own desires to follow Him, giving it all to Jesus, making that trip to the altar like we heard last Sunday. Make another trip to the altar. Not just once, not just twice, but however many times we need to make that trip to the altar. Saying, Lord, I surrender all, and trusting the Lord to guide us. We do this out of gratitude that our sins hath been forgiven. God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for His children. He wants us to be new people with renewed minds. Again, renewed minds like He had renewed our minds when we became born again. Our minds were renewed, and we made the decision to follow Jesus, to follow God and do whatever He asks us to. That's what He wants of us. Not just back there where it happened, where we got born again, but a continual thing to lay our lives down to follow Christ. Since He wants only what is best for us, and since He gave His Son to make our new lives possible, we should joyfully volunteer as living sacrifice for His service. And I had to think of voluntarily doing something. We have these around here, voluntary fire departments, and the way I understand, they're all operated by voluntarily, you know, people volunteer to do this service to help out when a fire breaks out or if somebody gets hurt. They go and help out, and they just do it by voluntarily. They don't get paid for that. I don't think, not if it's on a volunteer fire department. But there's many people out there that wants to give their life to help out others. But it also does take more than just that to follow the Lord. We have to obey what His Word says and walk in righteousness and holiness. God is asking you to reverently come into His presence, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, to be used for His purpose. He wants us, He wants to use us for His purpose, to glorify Him, to bring honor and glory to Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can turn there if you want to. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 22. I thought I was there. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past now and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So that's what God wants us. He wants, we have to study His Word and get to know His Word. We have to need it in our heart so that we can follow after it. And I like there in verse 21 where it says, a vessel unto honor, sanctify and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And that is what God is looking for, is someone that is cleansed and made holy and ready for the master's use, ready to do His will, ready to do something for the Lord, to glorify Him. We must study and know the Word of God so we can understand what it says and means, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We should build our lives on His Word and build His Word into our lives. It tells us how to live for Him and serve Him. He who ignores God will certainly be ashamed at the judgment. So we dare not to just ignore God and go back into sin, but God wants us to follow Him, and that's what we need to do if we want to live a sacrificial life. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have God's word here, and we can take it and study it and use it for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, so that it may cleanse us, if we follow after that, we will turn out to be a child of God if we follow the scripture. The whole Bible is God's inspired word. Because it is inspired and trustworthy, we should read it and apply it to our lives. The Bible is our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true. It is our safeguard against false teaching and our source of guidance for how we should live. It is our only source of knowledge about how we can be saved. God wants to show you what is true and equip you to live for Him. So we have God's Word, and that's where we get our knowledge. That's where we get our source of guidance and where we can go to if we want to know something. We can go to God's Word, and He will show us. If we can't get it out of there, out of that, if we can't find it, then we need to find someone that can help us in that. And I got four ways here that you can present your body as a living sacrifice. There's many more ways or many more things that I'm sure I'm going to miss, and things that I won't say the way it could be said. But nevertheless, I hope you can get something out of this to be encouraged or to be a help or to be inspired by it. A living sacrifice to God. We have to sacrifice our emotions like frustration, sadness, anger, depression, or hardness of heart. So we know, especially sometimes in brothers' meeting or so, our emotions get hyped up, or our emotions get, we want to show what we are, don't we? Our emotions, so we have to sacrifice, so we have to lay those down. The emotions can affect our mental well-being, influencing our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Identifying and expressing emotions can be challenging, but it is an important skill. It can help you understand yourself better, cope with difficult situations, and improve your relationship with others. Having a list of emotions can help you identify your feelings before the moment passes. So if we find ourselves in a situation, our emotions can fire up, and we can either let them fire up, or we can just hold them back, crucify them, or sacrifice our emotions. We can learn to identify and express our emotions healthy and productively. Emotions are good, but it depends, you know, what kind of emotions we have. Is it frustration, sadness, and anger? Those are the ones that we need to lay down. We can have healthy emotions. The next one I have is sacrifice your mindset. Your mindset is a set of beliefs that shape how you make sense of the world and yourself. It influences how you think, feel, and behave in any given situation. It means that what you believe about yourself impacts your success or failure. So sometimes we can have our mindset on something, and we really believe that's the way it is. But it can be just a mindset. We have to, again, go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about what we have our mindset on. It's a set of belief, and it shapes how you make sense of the world and yourself. Your mindset is the biggest weapon you have. Use it wisely. Matthew 15. I'm going to turn to Matthew 15. Read a couple verses there. Verse 18, 19, and 20. Said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adulterers, fornication, thieves, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So what I want to bring out is, I guess, out of the heart what's in the heart will come out. So whatever we have in our mindset, that affects the heart. And sometimes we just have to lay down our mindset for something better. If God's word does not line up with our what we have our mindset on, then we have to sacrifice that mindset and move on to what God has for us. We work hard to keep our outward appearance attractive, but what is in our hearts is even more important. The way we are deep down, where others can't see, matters much to God. God wants us to seek healthy thoughts and motives. You have to sacrifice your mindset from things like doubt, carnal thinking, and expectation or assumptions to be a truly living sacrifice. God's word is the only source of truth in existence, and everything you believe must line up with that. Amos 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? So can you walk with God unless you agree with him? I don't think you can. If you don't agree with God, you can't walk with him. Can two walk together unless they agree? To walk with God, you have to agree with him. Know God through his word and pattern your life after his principles. And number three there on sacrifice your experience. You have to sacrifice your experience like pain and anxiety, bad choices, injustice, mistreatment. Every person on earth experiences difficulties, difficult seasons in life. Sometimes we invite problems through our bad choices. Sometimes we are under a spiritual attack of the enemy who works through people to cause harm. But we have the Word of God as our weapon. I think we all experience time sometimes. In different times of our life, we experience some of those things, bad choices or pain or mistreatment or whatever it might be. It might be different for each one. And we can't just hold on to those experiences, and we have to let go of them. We have to sacrifice them and move on. We have the Word of God as our weapon. That's why we need God's Word in our hearts. You may have had bad experience, but turn to God, and he will help, guide, provide, heal, and restore. If you want to experience a greater intimacy with God, it's time for your past experience to die as you present your body a living sacrifice of praise. Our experiences are not God's fault. God uses bad things to work out good for his people. And in Romans 8:28, it says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So there's a time, you know, we do have bad experience and things like that, but there's a time to move on and just lay those things down. And move on with God in life. And number four, I have sacrificed your body. God gave us bodies to make his glory more visible. He gave us our bodies, and he wants us to keep our bodies pure and holy before him and glorify him so that the world can see the glories of God, so that we can make known to the world that there is a God in heaven that we put our trust in. We must live in a continual state of surrender and consecration Give your members, your eyes, your tongue, your hands, your feet. Give your body to God to do righteousness, not sin. That's what would make a body holy. A body is holy not because of what it looks like or what shape it's in, but because of what it does. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him God shall destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So we are, our bodies are God's. They're the temple of God. And we are not to destroy it with worldly things, with the things of this world. But God wants our bodies pure and holy before Him. And we know that we are not perfect. We fail. We do failures and things like that. But we have that option to ask God to forgive us, and He will forgive us. And move on from those things and serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we are, again, and we are bought with a price. Remember, we talked about Jesus paid that ransom for us. And if we accept that and follow God, we are not ours anymore. We are God has bought us with a price. And it says, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we are to glorify God and serve Him. There's many people say that they have the right to do whatever they want to with their bodies. They think it's freedom they have. The freedom that they have. I know when I got born again, I was talking with my brother-in-law, and he's like, "No, he's free. He's free of those things." And I said, "Well, I'm free too, only I'm free from sin. I'm not free from doing what is right, but I'm free from sin, you know. God has freed me from the bondage of sin." But he was more like, "No, he's free to do whatever he pleases." But that is not the freedom that God gave me. That's not the freedom that God gives you. It's the freedom to serve God, to do what he wants you to do. The freedom to free yourself from the bondage of sin. Those people that say those are really enslaved to their own desires, enslaved to sin. They're enslaved to sin if they think they're just free to do whatever they please. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit fills and lives in us. Therefore, we are no longer our own bodies. We have been bought with a price. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligates us to His service. So we are free to serve Christ when we became born again. If you are living in a building owned by somebody else, you don't violate the building's rules. So in the same way, your body belongs to God. You must not violate His standards for living. God wants you to offer all of yourself and all of your lives, your time, your ambition, your possession, your ear, your mouth, your minds, your emotions, and attitudes. Give it all to God. A sacrifice is something precious, of great value, given out of love and devotion to God. If it costs you nothing, it is no sacrifice. The sacrifice God wants is you, your body, your time, and your life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, there's some good direction in that. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling on a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now they have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So there we can see that at one time we were not a child of God. We were not chosen, but God has chosen us. And we are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And he has called us out of darkness. If we are a child of God, that's he has called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And we are to abstain from all these worldly lusts that war against our soul. In Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That's what God wants of us, is to give, or to be obedient to him, and he will help us offer our sacrifice of praise to God continually, just the fruit of our lips. So we need to give our lips, our mouth, our heart, our all to Jesus, to sacrifice our life, to sacrifice those things and hold back those worldly things and serve the Lord. And I hope you was encouraged by that. That's all I have to share here, I think. So may the Lord bless you as you fight this week. Take this week and sacrifice your life unto the Lord. Lord, God bless you.